Feeling my great need of the Lord's most gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to the book of Judges, chapter 16 and verse 3, for a text. The book of Judges, chapter 16 and to verse 3. I will read the first three verses to complete the sense of the narrative. Judges 16, verses 1 to 3. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. It is really verse 3 that I desire to speak a few words upon, as the Lord may be pleased to help me. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. I do not really desire to dwell upon the immediate context of this narrative, though very instructive indeed it is. Firstly, concerning the weakness of human nature. You see, Samson was a mighty man of valour, consecrated unto God from the womb, a Nazarite from the womb. And you see, indeed, even the best and the strongest of men, we see all the weakness in them. You see, he went down to spy out upon the Philistines, seeking advantage against them, doing the work of the Lord in delivering and judging for Israel, God's people. And yet, when he was down there, his eyes spotted something. And through the inlet of his eyes, being the windows of the soul, he fell indeed. And it was the beginning of a great fall for this mighty man of valour. But we see here in these narratives blessed instructions also for us. And in many ways, Samson, in the strength that God gave him, was a type of Christ. And really, this is what I desire to consider as we look at verse 3. How Samson here, as God gave him strength to overcome his enemies and to deliver him from his own sinful follies, in that deliverance, how he, as he was acting for the Lord's people in his public office, as God ministers strength to him, so we see here, and it brings us to consider what mighty deliverance God has done for his people, has wrought for his people, even in the blessed, glorious, eternal person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a desire to take these first three out of its immediate context and to look at his spiritual application. We may say first that which is natural and then that which is spiritual. And you see, I desire to see really three things from this verse. Firstly, to see, as we have set before us, that this deliverance that Samson wrought, how it's worded, and Samson, he arose at midnight in the darkest hour. And so indeed the beloved Saviour has risen again to deliver his people forever from death. And mainly to consider the great deliverance that Samson wrought and his great strength that was manifested as he took the gates of the city. He broke through the great gates that were holding him in. And in like manner to consider this really in three ways concerning the taking of the gates of the city away. How the blessed Saviour indeed has broken the jaws and the gates of death. He has burst his people's bonds asunder. He is also in breaking those gates. He has made a way into the holiest of all. And then lastly to consider, yea, he's even lifted up the gates of heaven and gone in hither that his people may, gone in thither that his people may go in and follow him there. And then briefly to consider this also from the verse concerning him taking the gates of the city, bar and all, and he put them upon his shoulder and carried them up to the top of the hill. You see, this blessed Saviour has risen again from the dead for the justification and eternal deliverance of his people. Why? He's taken the whole weight of their soul, life and body and their sins upon himself, and the government is now of their whole life and their eternity is upon his shoulders, and he is even now ascended up on high and led captivity captive for them. And you see, in one sense, this Samson, you see, we see here a deliverance of Samson from his own sin. You see, he was committing sin by lying in that harlot's place. And you know, here, even here, as he arose from it, also we may see a type of Emmanuel. He who knew no sin, yet he was made sin for us. Indeed, all our sins were laid upon him. The iniquity of us all, even Samson's sins were laid upon him. You see, it's because of the bless what Jesus has done that even Samson here could rise at midnight. We really desire to consider this phrase, and arose at midnight. Oh, there is one blessed one who has risen sinner at midnight for you and has wrought a mighty deliverance for your never dying soul. Even Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the King of heaven and of earth. Oh God, manifest in the flesh, he's risen at midnight. In your darkest hour, oh, you see, why, even the sun hid its face when the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. But blessed be God, oh, he had power to lay down his life. The blessed eternal God, he had power to take it again, this commandment he received of his Father. And when he arose, sinner, it was for your eternal deliverance, for your eternal justification. You see, this was a mighty God. We read in Psalm 68, let God arise, blessed be God. Let his enemies be scattered. Yea, all the enemies of him and his people, let them be scattered by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All who is declared and manifested to be the Son of God with power. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight. Oh, you see this dark hour of Samson's sin, yet the Lord in mercy put strength into him. Ah, you see in the ministering of that strength, we may see a type of Christ. Why, when we were without strength, wallowing in the mire of sinful corruption, Christ died for the ungodly. wrought a mighty deliverance in the earth. For God, who is rich in mercy, he commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. To consider firstly then this mighty deliverance that King Jesus hath wrought for sinners in the earth. We read of it in Hosea. O sinful Israel, turning away from the Lord, going in their own ways, worshipping foolish stone dumb idols, the work of their wicked hands, forsaken the fountain of living waters, a God who redeemed them out of bondage and led them safely through the wilderness where there were scorpions and droughts and famines and pestilences, and brought them safely into the land of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey. They may dig brass and gold out from its hills. Gave them rest from all their enemies, from all their labours, from all their travels. After he destroyed the inhabitants of the land for them, yet how quickly they corrupted themselves, just like you and just like me, left to ourselves. But you see, we read here in the precious word of God, the precious gospel, the God of all grace who is rich in mercy. Why? Because he loved them. Therefore he would not destroy them. Therefore did he deliver them. And therefore we have this great deliverance here. You see, what do we read in Hosea to this wandering people, this evil people by nature? Why, what do we read in Hosea 13? O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. You know, that's verily true of you and of me. We have destroyed ourselves. And you know, except the Lord have mercy upon us and keep us and bless us and give us gospel grace and heavenly love, we will destroy ourselves. Make no doubt about it. All the barren hearts in this world who love the world, oh, they're destroying themselves. But those who are humbled in the dust, who God sanctifies, who God teaches and instructs, and leads into his beloved Son. Oh, you see, the Lord has wrought a mighty deliverance for these destroyed sinners. Why, what do you read in Hosea a few verses later? I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. And repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Because of dear Emmanuel, God's eternal and immutable counsels of peace towards his people. Therefore he says, I will heal their backsliding. Oh, though it's so awful, wicked and aggravated, I will love them freely. Because in my wisdom I found out a way whereby I shall redeem them from the grave and ransom them from the power of death. I will deliver them from all of their sins. I will work a mighty deliverance in the earth for the sending, the giving of my beloved Son, for the giving of myself, God manifest in the flesh. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Now firstly we must consider something of these doors that the blessed Saviour has burst open, has broken asunder, and has made a way. We read in the Word of God that we are all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And you know, we come forth from the womb speaking lies. And you know, we each have the napkin of the sentence of death upon us. We're all bound in grave clothes the moment we're born. One said in verse, the moment when our lives begin, we all begin to die. Because we're born under the sentence of death. Because the Lord said to Adam, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And moreover, he said to Ezekiel, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's sure. It's certain. It's eternal. Good is the word that the Lord hath spoken. And so the condemned sinner will give God the glory in that great and solemn day when he cometh. Behold, he cometh to judge the earth. In righteousness shall he judge the people. Why, in that day, why the fields, the trees, the clouds, they shall clap their hands, they shall rejoice. Why? Because the righteous God who made all things is coming to judge the earth. And he will judge it with righteousness. That evil, wicked, wretched, awful, vile, abominable thing that rose up against God and spoiled and marred and cursed the whole creation. Why? It will now be banished. Why? It will now be a sentence, a just, holy sentence will be executed. Righteousness shall be established forever. Oh, sin shall be put away into the confines of hell forevermore. Oh, no wonder the trees of the field will clap their hands. No wonder the heavens will testify. Will give witness to these solemn, holy proceedings. Why? Because the whole creation, one said in verse, groans through thee, thou pregnant cause of misery. What? Well, what did God say to Cain? Behold, if thou hast done well, then thou shalt be justified. If not, then sin lieth at the door. And you see, indeed, this is a state wherein we're all born. As we may know, sin lieth at our doors. See, no wonder the good man, the preacher that was wise, even King Solomon, who though he was exceedingly wise, that he fell into idolatry, poor man. No wonder he said, vanity of vanity, behold all his vanity, all is empty. Here below, what is it that thou dost delight in, sinner? Is it God? Is it Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Or is it foolish husks of this earth? Is it the bread and wine of this earth? Is it the money and the gold and the silver you may have hoarded up, which shall testify against you in that last day? The Lord knows. But you see, this is the state. We're all bound by this awful cords of death. Oh, you see, oh, we need not look far. Why, Job said, behold, the tree that falls, where it falls it shall lie, whether it falls to the north, whether it falls toward heaven, whether it falls toward hell, in the where it falls it shall lie. Yea, what do we read in Job? Concerning this matter. That hell is open before God. If I can find it. We read in Job. Hell is naked before him. And destruction hath no covering. You see, man desires to cover up destruction. The destruction that is awaiting his never dying soul. He desires to cover it up. He desires indeed to veil it from his eyes and says, give me my pleasure and I shall be happy, I shall be well. But you see, it's an awful lie. It's a deceit of Satan. You see, destruction is open before God and hell is naked before him. Oh, we see this, do we not? Indeed. Oh, when we feel the pains in our body. Oh, when we have many fears. Oh, when we see one taken and another. Oh, when we see, oh, the distress, the sorrow, the oppression in the earth, the shortness of our days. Hell is naked before God. And destruction, it hath no covering. Oh, we try to prolong our days, and may the Lord spare us in mercy. But behold, indeed, man cometh forth like a flower, and is soon he's cut down. You see, destruction hath no covering. No thought of the Lord's can be hindered. And this is the awful state that mankind is born in, sinner. You know, every breath that we breathe, even now, this very moment, why? It cometh from the Lord. Is his strength ministered to thee? Oh, and if he takes his hand from thee, thou canst not breathe, thou must die. Is he upholds all things by the word of his power. And therefore hell is naked before him, and destruction it hath no covering. You see, that's our state by nature. We're naked before the Lord, and our destruction hath no covering as we're born in sin and shaping in the devil's iniquity. But you see, in the precious word of God, we have such a blessed revelation. You see, Adam, the Lord said, where art thou? What could Adam say? But you see, the Lord, in great mercy, did not cut him off in his sins. You see, his life was spared because of the promise of a mighty deliverance, of a blessed deliverer. You see, because of the promise of a saviour, of one who would come and destroy this awful, wicked thing called sin and deliver this human race from all its destruction and redeem them from the death that they've now fallen into. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. In the day that thou liftest up thy hand against God, thou shalt surely die. In the day that thou disobeyest the voice of the Lord thy God, thou shalt surely die. But there was a promise given. You see, in the immutable counsels of God, of peace toward his people. He loved the people. His everlasting love, you see. Embraced a number, a multitude of people whom no man could number, from every kindred, nation, tribe and tongue. And in his eternal, infinite, blessed wisdom, the great God of heaven abounded toward us. His wisdom, it made a way for his love to reach these sinners fallen and to raise them to an estate of eternal glory far higher than the Adam state of innocence. And you see, this deliverance that was wrought in the earth, why is such a blessed deliverance? Because this love of God, which works this deliverance, this love of God, it breaks the bars of sin and of death and of condemnation asunder. And it sets the soul at liberty. Yea, moreover, this love, indeed, which works this mighty deliverance in the earth, the love of God, it not only breaks the bars of the sinner's captivity, but why, the arms of this love, they're eternal. They gather the soul and they begin to embrace the soul, and they gather the soul to an eternal state of glory, everlasting. Why? And you see, what hath God wrought? You see, Balaam said, concerning these people, Israel, Oh, he was astonished at this wonderful thing. Here the whole world lying in wickedness, wicked Moab wanting to curse. And he said, how shall I curse them whom God hath not cursed? Behold, he hath commanded me to bless. God is not a man that he should lie, and the Son of Man that he should repent. Why hath not beheld any iniquity or perverseness in Israel? There is no divination against them. Behold, the Lord God is among them. The shout of the King, even King Jesus, is with them, the God of heaven and earth. And it shall be said from this time, what hath God wrought? Why has wrought a mighty deliverance for these sinners in the earth? And you see, this deliverance is now proclaimed by the precious gospel, the good tidings of Jesus Christ, which must be preached in all the earth, even to the end of time, for the ingathering of those whom his love everlasting does embrace, and shall gather to his eternal kingdom, that they may sup and reign with him forever and ever. Oh, you see, the revenue of praise that God shall get through the redemption of his people to eternal glory, to sit in heavenly places with their blessed deliverer, the man, the God, man, Christ Jesus. Oh, the revenue of praise that shall flow forth from redeemed, loved, sanctified, blessed hearts. Why, even eternity itself will not be too long to praise him. One said in verse concerning the blessed God and his wonderful workings here below, his poor and needy sinners in his covenant love towards them. One said in verse concerning afflictions, because even they work together to give God praise and for the sinner's good. Said, ah, the Lord from afflictions can raise matter eternity to fill with never dying praise, ever growing praise. And so it is with the mighty deliverance that blessed Jesus hath wrought in the earth for poor needy sinners. When he rose again from the dead, when he was delivered for their offences and rose again for their justification, why, destroyed the gates of death, the gates of hell, sin and Satan were destroyed. He vanquished them. And he delivered his people from the captivity that sin has rendered them under. But you see, oh sinner, where does this find you? And where does it find me? Art thou under sin's captivity? Art thou under sin's bondage? Oh, how wilt thou answer such a question? Oh, what shalt thou say? I was never in bondage to any man, perhaps. Oh, what shalt thou say? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Ah, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, you know, sinner, he will convince the world of sin because they believe not in the beloved, precious, eternal Saviour of sinners, even King Jesus, whom he raised to his right hand. Moreover, he will convince the world of righteousness because, oh, you see, righteousness is according to truth. And the Lord Jesus is the truth of God. There are no counsels of truth outside of Emmanuel because God has spoken to us in these last days by his beloved Son, who is ordained and, oh, heir of all things, raised into his right hand. Why, after he purged our sins away, there's no truth for the sinner outside of this. Jesus, one offering for sin, which purges away thy sins. There's truth, sinner. And all those that believe a lie, you know, they have no part or lot in this matter. They turn away from the truth. They shall be swallowed up in darkness. Oh, there's no truth which is according to righteousness, sinner, apart from this blessed Lord Jesus, God's eternal co-equal Son, God with us. There's no truth apart from Emmanuel, God with us. For behold, God is for us in his beloved Son. But you see, oh, this blessed Saviour, why, when the Spirit of truth shall come, He will bring sinners to the dear Redeemer. They will know the truth about themselves, that they're lost and heading for eternal destruction and perdition. They deserve the lowest hell. There is no hope for them in themselves. He will convince the world of righteousness because the blessed Saviour has gone to the Father and the world sees him no more. They will know the truth that they have no righteousness in themselves. But they're right. There is one who's gone to heaven to prepare a place for his people. There is righteousness enough for them in the blessed Saviour. He has wrought righteousness for them. In the working of that righteousness, he has wrought deliverance for their souls. He's gone to the Father. Oh, and how their souls will begin to go after him. This is the teaching of God. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. And he'll convince the world of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Oh, he's cast out. He has nothing in the blessed God. Oh, the devil is banished forever. Oh, the Lord, he's bruised Satan's head by his blessed death, by that blessed deliverance. He's bruised Satan with an incurable bruise, sinner. Oh, the prince of this world is judged out for thee. Oh, thou to struggle with all these infidel lusts, thou to struggle with all these sinful things, all the affections of the world, all thou dost cry out against them, O wretched man, there's blessed redemption and deliverance for thee. Why? And the blessed Spirit, he will teach thee concerning this blessed judgment that Christ Jesus hath brought, because he will judge his people. Yea, he will judge for his people. He will judge against the wicked. Why, their judgment shall be condemnation, but for those who hunger and thirst of the living God. Why, this mighty deliverer, he is now ordained by God to be the judge of all the earth, and he wrought blessed judgment for his people. Why, he judges for them, he judges their sins right away from them, and he judges the devil, and he judges the world, and he delivers them from it. And for they're not under sin anymore, the captivity, the dominion of it, but they're under grace. For sin shall not now have dominion over them, because there is one who is judged for them. We see, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent, whom he sent to work this mighty deliverance. And it's a work of the Holy Ghost to bring sinners to this deliverer, this blessed Saviour. Oh, if you may like for the type from the verses, heavenly Samson, as God ministers strength to him. Why? Because he shall take of mine, of the things concerning myself, and shall show it unto you. Ah, sinner, is that what thou dost hunger and thirst after? The things concerning King Jesus. Is he thy Lord? Is he thy God? Dost thou desire him so to be? Ah, then, indeed, thou art on the king's highway. Ah, thou hast hope in this blessed Saviour. He has done mighty things. He has wrought a mighty deliverance in the earth for thee, sinner. Oh, and in due time he'll manifest it to your conscience and gather you safe to glory. We read in the Corinthians concerning this solemn thing, this thing called a sting. You know, man, he has a sting before him. You know, when we get stung by a nettle or a wasp, oh, what pain and what agony. You know, man's soul, it has a solemn sting before him. Oh, it does indeed. What is this sting? Why? It's two things. It's death and it's sin. We read in the Corinthians, the sting of death is sin. You see, as we're stung by sin, so we shall die. Oh, what an awful sting death has. But you see, there is one, even the beloved Saviour, the Lord Jesus, who has come to this earth has died the just for the unjust. Why? You see, there is one who has stood in the room, place instead of sinners. There is a righteous one. Oh, who has served God for sinners, who has wrought righteousness for them, and he has stood in their room, place instead for them. Why? And he has died for them. As we read, when the Lord Jesus came even unto Calvary, to Golgotha, when he was lifted up from the earth upon that cross, he cried out something so eternally blessed. Ah, you see, what did he cry out first? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? That he might deliver your souls forever. For the wages of sin is death. We read concerning the blessed Jesus, who when he shall come again, why he's delivered us from the wrath to come. The wages of sin is death. And so the blessed Saviour, as the sins of his people, as God made them to meet, as he laid them upon his beloved Son, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, as the sins of his people were charged to the Saviour, the righteous one, the just one. Ah, you see, so indeed, that sentence of death was fulfilled. And so, you see, having said thus, Jesus gave up the ghost. The wages of sin is death. But you see, when the Lord Jesus died, he wrought a mighty deliverance. He wrought an eternal deliverance, an eternal victory. You see, when he died, he cried out some most blessed words, signifying that as he died, he gained an eternal victory. We read in one place, he cried with a loud voice. And in John's Gospel, we have the words of that loud voice when he said, "It is finished. It is accomplished. It is fulfilled." What? Ah, many blessed things, but all namely this, the salvation, the redemption, and the eternal security and glory of his people. He gained the victory for them. Oh, he had spoiled principalities and powers, and made an open show of them. Ah, you see, why? Indeed, this seems such a dark hour, when the beloved Son of God must die. For he died, and when he died, he gained an eternal victory, because you see, he was righteous, and death could not hold him. But he stood in the room, place, instead of his people. You see, when the beloved Saviour descended into the depths of the earth, you see, when his body was laid in the grave, he took his people's sins with him down, you see, as he bore the sentence of death for them. But you see, when he arose again, because he was righteous, he did no sin himself. He stood in the room, place, instead of his people, but you see, his righteousness sustained him and gave him the victory. You see, when he arose, he arose, and he left his people's sins buried in the depths of the earth, never to be seen again. This is a victory that Jesus hath wrought, and therefore when he rose again for their eternal justification, for their eternal acceptance with God. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead signifies that the sins of God's people are put away. There is no more sin. That fury is not now in the Lord. It's been expended upon his beloved Son. Why? It signifies that the sentence of death has been removed. It signifies that the offering of Jesus Christ once and for all is forever acceptable with the Lord. And it signifies that all of the sins of God's people are cast behind his back. They're put away, never to be seen again. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed his people's transgressions from them. See, this is a mighty deliverance that King Jesus has wrought. And it's the fullness of this deliverance. It's not a partial deliverance. Oh, you see, the people of God, they're plagued by their sins all their life long here below. You see, it's a complete deliverance. And you see, this is brought out in this verse. When he arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all. Oh, it's a complete deliverance. His people's sins are washed away by the shedding of his precious blood. He's made an atonement for them. Ah, you see, the blood, it signifies death. And death is a penalty and the punishment of sin. And through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, his people's sins, oh, the condemnation is removed. The debt is paid. And you see, the shedding of that precious blood, it signifies one standing in their room place instead. It signifies divine substitution. One who stood in their room place instead. And that shedding of that precious blood, why is the people who hunger and thirst after God look to Jesus? They are delivered because, for them is brought in everlasting righteousness. Oh, you'll need righteousness, sinner, to stand in the presence of a holy God. Ah, as you look to the Lord Jesus. Oh, by the shedding of his precious blood, signifying divine substitution. One standing in your room place instead, for you is brought in everlasting righteousness. And therefore you see, we read when the Lord Jesus came, must be very brief now, only 5 minutes. When the Lord Jesus came, oh, he stood up in the synagogue and said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he's anointed me, the blessed Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one of God, foreordained from all eternity to be the Saviour of the world. He's anointed me to preach the gospel, the good tidings from heaven, this river of water of life that flows from the throne of God and reaches sinners' hearts. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, needy sinners in the earth. Why? Ah, he's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. Why he's wrought such a blessed deliverance as to heal their souls forever and ever. Ah, and what else? Ah, to set them who are bound at liberty, to set the captives free. What from? The sentence of death. Oh, and the opening of the prison door to them that are bound. Oh, this blessed Jesus, this King of glory. Why, by his death, his life, his death, his resurrection, he opens the prison doors of the cells of his people's hearts and sets them free. Ah, you see, one said in the word of God, speak the word only, Lord. Ah, when this blessed Saviour speaks, the soul is set at liberty. His sheep hear his voice. Why? For I will hear what the Lord God will speak unto his people. He will speak peace. And when he arose from the dead, oh, risen again for the disciples' justification. Oh, the poor disciples, they were so distressed, you see. Oh, they were full of unbelief. Oh, they were full of fear. Ah, but what did the blessed Saviour say to them? Peace be unto you. Oh, you see, when he died, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. A way into the presence of God was now made, reconciliation for sinners. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, said the apostle, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things which it can never be justified by the law of Moses. And therefore we read, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Why, there's a blessed Saviour, the blessed Redeemer who's risen again from the dead, broken the bonds of his people in two, broken them forever. Ah, you see, the sting of death is sin, solemn, awful truth, and the strength of sin is the law. Indeed, but you see, he's redeemed them from the curse of a broken law, and he's fulfilled the law for them. Blessed be God. But thanks be to God, bless eternal thanks, everlasting be to God, who giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And one last word. We read concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his ascension into glory in Psalm 24. What do we read? Why, this blessed Saviour, who the government of your life is upon his shoulders, he's borne all the weight of your souls upon himself, and he's led captivity captive for you, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them, and he's risen again from the dead, and he's ascended on high, and as he ascended into the heavenly regions, into the kingdom of heaven, why, what do we read? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. Oh, who can lift up everlasting doors? Who has strength enough? What human being has strength enough to lift up the gates of heaven? Your great forerunner, sinner, the captain of your salvation, King Jesus. Who is this King of glory, the Lord of hosts? Why, God himself, he is with us in the blessed person of the Saviour. He's ascended on high, no captivity captive. And now he ever liveth to make intercession for all those who come unto God by him, and one day shall come the second time without sin unto eternal salvation. He shall come as a mighty conqueror, as a mighty victor, without sin unto salvation. He shall come because he gained the eternal victory over sin and he's delivered his people, and they shall stand and bow before him forever, and praise him, and crown him Lord of all. Amen.